principalities should not know. Powers should not know. And so God gives you instruction. He's expecting for you to operate by faith, because he doesn't bother to give you the details. It must be shrouded in a mystery. Even you that is carrying out the instruction, the instruction doesn't look logical, because the full depth of that instruction has been concealed from your own understanding. And God is expecting that you obey. And if you go higher and higher with God, you begin to discover that obedience is powerful. And if you don't know that obedience is powerful, that when God said jump, don't even ask how high, jump first. When he said take off now, don't say which direction, you move. The Bible says, I was in the way and the Lord led me. If you come into critical battle situations, you need to understand that the prime core of every spiritual battle is a need of yieldedness and submissiveness and obedience that doesn't question the authority of God, because God is going to operate by a mystery. Now, to come to what our brother just raised to us, the devil operates by mysteries. And it is good for us to know at this point in time that the realm of the spirit has a lot of traffic, a lot of activity. And many times these activities are stirred up by the negative supernatural. Many people's destinies can be beguiled, cut short, and you are only given the pinnacle of the roadside to walk. Meanwhile, God called you to walk upon the highway, but because of these diverse manipulations. And the average believer does not know that he has a responsibility to keep himself within the midst of that which God has ordained for him. Your calling, your destiny is part of your allotment. God will not fight to maintain it for you. It's your fight. Hallelujah. You are called as an evangelist, and the devil peeps into your fire, and by some means he knows that an evangelist is going to rise out of your family after four generations, and it happened to be that a mantle fell upon you. First of all, he will complicate the environment around you, so that any thought of you being an evangelist at all will raise so much opposition that you don't even dare thinking about it, even in the night. The reason why it's operating like that is so that you can decide that, okay, if this thing will cost me so much, why not allow it to go? But as long as God is concerned, the only sphere in which your life, your provision is guaranteed on earth is that sphere of divine ordination. And as long as you're outside of that circle, you're on your own. The spirit realm operates with precision, with accuracy, and you must be in the right spot at the right time. That was why when God showed up in the Garden of Eden, he said, Adam, where are you? There was a place he was expected to be for several activities to happen, to take place. And because of his disillusionedness, and he was broken out of alignment, and he was standing aloof, several things were obstructed. And God knew that somebody was out of place, and he asked, when Adam, where? This is not where I ordained you to be. You are just out of scope, out of alignment, and there is not much I can do to help you. Are you still with me? As long it will take you, it will cost you something to walk in your call, to cost you something to walk in your destiny. If any man believes things that is going to be easy, you didn't read your Bible well. Faith does not make things easy. Faith only makes it possible. Please help me preach. Let's go gradually. Faith, tell your neighbor, faith does not make things easy. It only makes it possible. Yes, that's the only promise God gives you. It's going to be possible. Whether you have 10 scars on your back at the end of the day, God didn't say you will not have scars, but it will still be possible. Whether you come out and, my God, God say what? Help me preach again. That faith does not make it easy. Faith only guarantees that it will be possible. So any kind of life you live without a deep conviction of where you should be, what you should do, it's a life of a weakling, because without conviction, when the devil begins to come, you know, to apply the pressure on you because of the fact that you are within the context of God's will and God's purpose, and you may not see any need to continue on that lane. trafficking in the realms to manipulate things, break things out of accurate joint and accurate symmetry with the plan of God. Oh my Jesus. I want you to get unprovoked in your spirit that you will not live any other day outside of that terrain that God has ordained. And I need to tell you quickly that because something is the will of God, will not make it easy. Though you are called to be an evangelist, called to be, you will suffer. It's part of the prohibitions. God ordained it that way. He said, with diverse revelations which are entering into the kingdom of God. That means your usefulness, your alignment, your right standing with God will be maintained in an atmosphere of trial and temptation. It's true tribulation. In order for you to maintain right standing with God, in order for you to enter into another phase of God's purpose, phase of God's agenda, there will be pressure. Anybody that tells you otherwise took you to Disney Island and you are picnicking. Very soon you will wake up to some very practical realities. And you'll find out that we need more than tongues for survival. Hallelujah. You see, so I want us to understand that in the realms of the spirit, there is intense spiritual traffic. And the reason for the traffic is because the devil is into this business of manipulation. He cannot control your spirit. Do you understand? He cannot control what's happening inside of you, but he has control upon every other thing else. He has control upon the external environment. He can make somebody in the office that has the authority over you in the office to behave in a certain way that will put you in a position of perpetual disadvantage. He can do that. He's the prince of the power of the air. Every potential that is in nature, that is disjointed from Christ, the source, can be used as a tool in his hands to seek to manipulate your destiny, to seek to frustrate and to hinder the purpose of God for your life. So, if you have not yet decided that you are going to be operating on high tension spiritually, I don't think you are ready for life at all. Because life itself is an affliction. Life. You don't know that. When Jacob finishes sojourning and through the thick and through the thin, and he finally alighted in Egypt, and Pharaoh interviewed him suddenly. Said, from whence have thou come? How has been your journey? He said, my days have not been too long, but they have been full of full of travail. Life itself is quite an affliction. And so you need to be in the right frame of mind to make a headway. And understand that God put what will make us who he ordained us to be in the spirit realm. If you have a problem with that, and you don't travel into that realm consistently to receive little doses of the capsule that will keep you going and keep you consistent with that which God has ordained, then I think you are too busy for life. You are too busy. I think you are not ready for life. You are quite busy and... the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So has the spirit realm been orchestrated, full of traffic. When God is trying to do something, the devil is active, trying to maneuver it, trying to manipulate it, trying to prolong it. And the thing about the whole jigsaw puzzle is that God puts us as a vital part of the unfolding of his program. Now, let that not deceive you. Let that not make you think that because I'm a vital part of God's program, me too, there's an aspect of it that can decide things. No. God's program is constant. His men are variable. At any point in time that you become a raw material that is no longer profitable to the equation, God can blot out your own segment of the whole game and then reproduce somebody 1,000 years later to do the thing that you would have done. Because God lives in eternity. It's not threatened by time. He can keep manipulating his thing. But at the end of the day, in final analysis, nothing will change anything. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So this point that you have now is a privilege that has been given to you as an act of God's mercy that has been bestowed upon your life so that you can invest into eternity. The only way it can be done is if we know how to tilt the spirit, the traffic that is going on in the realm of the spirit. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. And so the Bible begins to speak to us about this personality called Lucifer. The book of Ezekiel chapter 28, and a lot of exposition about him was revealed. lot of exposition about this personality was revealed. So much about him was stated in the book of Ezekiel chapter 20. So much of the spirit realm was revealed in Ezekiel chapter 28. I'm telling you the truth, if for 6 months, six months, you refuse to be distracted from your call, from the reason why you are alive, for 6 months, you will change spiritual level. Another gate of righteousness will be open to you. If you can do it for 6 months. Yes, I have a testimony that even heaven acknowledges. For 2 years in my life, I wanted to test and see the Lord. 2 years. Alright? So I said, I'm going to pray the way I've never prayed. I'm going to fast the way I've never fasted. I will live for God and never for me for 2 years. I said, let me try it. Do you know that in 2 years, I changed spiritual levels up to 8 times? 8. What I mean by change of spiritual level is that your entire spiritual topography is altered permanently. Alright? You left a place for 6 months as a novice. You came back as a seer. That's what I'm talking about. Every secret that people want to hide, you have a way of knowing it. Amen? So I left as a Sunday school teacher to Kano. When I came back to my sister's house, after 2 years, I came back as a seer. I told her secrets about herself that she marveled. She said, who are you? And what? That's what I mean when somebody changes spiritual level. Your entire configuration is altered permanently. You come as strange. You know, the Bible did not give us details as to how Elijah trained. He just told us that somehow, somewhere, sometime, a man called the Tishbite, he showed up. That's what I'm talking about. His type has not been seen. There's nothing to liken him with. He just showed up. That's a man that has gone through a spiritual process and has been upgraded. And then you will see the powers of grace reveal itself to your life in a dimension of glory that was not there before. It changes your job description, changes your... Oh my God. That's what I mean by change. If for 6 months you can say, no, my spiritual focus will not be broken, your life will. And also, it will take 6 months too, if you have gathered so many things, for the devil to maneuver you and make you a civilian, strip you of all your weapons, make you paralytic, so that even if you survive the quagmire, they may need to teach you how to walk again. Are you seeing somebody that is recovering from a car accident, an active man, but he's learning how to walk? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. In Ezekiel chapter 28, there were several things that God spoke to us. Those things you have tried to solve on the plane that you have not found solution to. Can we travel? Let's go with God. Refuse to allow your focus be broken. Refuse it. If you can refuse it, several things will hit you. Several things will hit you. Several things will trouble you. Money will finish. Refuse. Refuse. Sometimes even sickness will come. Refuse. Refuse. The time will come, you will hear a voice that is not audible. We tap into a realm that is not of this world. What God wants to do is that He wants to control you from heaven. No GSM wire connection. He wants to control you from His throne, where your life is an unfolding revelation of a desire that is sustained in the heart of God. So you live your life from the pages of God's heart. And for you to become that spiritually meticulous, you must have embraced the challenge of living life from your true standpoint of reality. When a man, a woman, an occultist is sent from the water with the assignment that mark this young man, follow him to the death. First of all, the lady must ensure that she gets admission in BSU in law, so that you and her will be seen on Monday to on Monday you come and say, well done. You know what I'm saying? Well done. It's only we that have time. You go to Mr. Beast and then you go here. Somebody that is on an errand does not enjoy such luxury. Do you understand? immediately after the person has made some little progress, the person reports back to headquarters. In the night, by 2 o'clock, it's in the water, giving them report, because that's where her reality is. So she lives from there. She's empowered from there. Her wisdom comes from there. The power she operates, she makes demand on her reality and then supply her with more tools to somewhere to the death. It comes. Do you understand it? But the Christian forgets that his reality is in heaven. He is looking for success principles on earth. Tinini tanana. Teka poka. He's mixing things. I went into scripture to do a study. The product of my Bible study is this counsel that I want to give you now. You don't need to be too intelligent to be very spiritual. It's not a product of intelligence, even though spirituality is not a friend of mental sloth, as it were. Because for you to be spiritual, you need a strong spirit and a renewed mind. Those two elements. Because the Bible makes us to understand that anywhere your mind is focused determines what you are. If you are spiritually minded, the Bible reveals that you are a spiritual man. You get it? If you are carnally minded, you'll be separated from God. The death, the word death in Romans, in the book of Romans, within the context of what I'm discussing here, has to do with, it's not cessation of life, but separation from God. So a man that is carnally minded will be separated from the consciousness of what God is doing. Alright, you'll be brought into this realm. That's a man that is looking for keys. How many keys to put together so that he can create something? His own operation is from this realm. He operates with a different kind of wisdom, human wisdom, which have been premeditated. In fact, the devil knows the next step that he will take if you operate from human wisdom. He knows the next step. He's too experienced. He knows our thought patterns. In fact, most of the thoughts you think are independent were given to you from him. By him, sorry. He knows how the thought faculty of humans operate. He knows if anything that does not come from the spirit realm is too weak to challenge Satan. Not as though we are trying to exalt Satan here. Because within the ladder, in the ladder of the spirit, he doesn't have power that is recognizable. But the point is that he still keeps manipulating us consistently and successfully. That's my problem. That's my problem. Successfully manipulating. Every generation keeps. Oh my God. Alright? You hear that in a family there's a story, a history of divorce, divorce, divorce. Even the bishop too, he divorced. It's not as if the devil has power that is recognizable in the realm of the spirit, but his capacity to always have his way is baffling. It's mind-blowing. Just because the average believer has not yet understood his commitment to his spiritual life as the only outlet he has to fulfill his God-ordained destiny. I remember when we were doing the 70-day fast. By the time we got to some 50-something days, unconsciously I was totally God-minded. Genesis, nothing mattered to me again. That's what happens to you when you begin to press into the spirit realm. God will begin to readjust your sense of priority unconsciously. You not know. If you are a lover of films, video, DVD, suddenly your appetite for it will begin to die, and he will do it so gradually until he brings you to a point where your consciousness has a bias to the spirit realm. Because God knows that it is in that consciousness that you can be a true conduit pipe that can convey heaven into the earth. If you live in debt, in carnality, you are not conveying heaven. You are living out a life that has already been programmed by the fall. Because I need to still tell you that the resources of the fall are still in your flesh. God had many methods of bringing us salvation. Many methods. He would have decided that salvation first to be imparted to the flesh. You get it? So that the capacity of dying would have been exempted. He would have applied the divine life to the flesh. So that what? The capacity of death would just live on forever. He would have applied it to the soul. So that we operate with the mind of Christ, The wisdom of God. Hallelujah. But God first applied the warrior to the spirit. Because that's where your reality is. You didn't apply it anywhere else. But modern day preaching and teaching makes us believe that we can apply something on the mind. If you exact the mind to a thinking diet, you might precipitate something that the devil doesn't know. That's not what we're talking about. We are saying that since God decided to regenerate the spirit first, it means that from that spirit, every other thing will find its own prosperity. So you can be using your mind naturally, but there is a use of your mind that comes when, by the Spirit of God, God brings the influence of His Spirit on your mind. That's when it jacks your mind up. It jacks it from being natural thought. It forces the thoughts of God begins to crystallize inside of it. That's the kind of mind you need to study the Bible and get revelation from it. The anointing of the Spirit of God operating in your spirit overflows the boundaries of the spirit and hijacks your mind. At that point in time, you begin to assimilate God's thoughts, you begin to flow on a frequency that you yourself begin to imagine. Is this me? It's not you. It's just that your mind has been made life by the Spirit. Do you get it? It's in the same way that your body will eventually be made life. That's what the Bible means when it says, if the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, it has capacity to make your body life. It can make your mind life. But God decided to begin the process from smuggling redemption, smuggling the new birth into your spirit, so that from that point, like a disease, it will spread out and encapsulate your entire being, and your entire being will be running on the frequency that God has ordained it to be. And in that day, the devil cannot accuse you of anything. He cannot take advantage of you, because you are full-blown, matured, you are operating the way God wants you to operate. And at that point in time, more and more, you begin to see that the devil is useless. More and more. More and more. You know the ways he normally comes to trick you. You have mastered it, because his wisdom is far below the wisdom of God. Then more and more you begin to see that your life begins to, the lines begin to fall onto you in pleasant places. More and more. You begin to see that your life is taking a rhythm, a pattern, like mnemonics. And you know that this must have been preordained. This must have been ordained by God, because you have gone into the spirit realm to draw what makes you you. And you are living it out by the power of God's grace. If we take away and exempt the demand, the price we need to pay in order for us to meet with the abilities of God in the spirit realm, then we have retired ourselves unto a life of defeat. Victory can only come by the Spirit, no other way. I want us to look upon one scripture quickly. Quickly. The scripture the Lord gave me is in the book of Romans for this night. Book of Romans. The best we can do for this time out is just to release some prayer points, which I trust that you'll be able to take out of this place in your quiet, your closet, even if it was for 30 minutes. Do something outside of the corporate life. Do something personal that is outside of the corporate life, so that apart from the corporate life, you have a personal life. All right? Are you still with me? There is corporate faith, there's personal faith, there's corporate life, there's personal life. There's corporate anointing, there's personal anointing. Are you still with me now? Now watch it. The Bible makes us understand something in the book of Exodus. Or Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. No, Exodus first. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Exodus first. Now, see, the Bible makes us understand Joshua and Caleb. The Bible says that they had a different spirit. What does the Bible mean when it says Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit? What it's trying to make us understand is that they had personal faith. That's all. You know, 12 people were sent to spy. Are you still in the know of that story? Now, 12 people were sent to spy, and all of them were moving in corporate faith. And then when they went and encountered the giants, they say in their likeness, and before the giants, they were like grasshoppers. So the corporate faith had died. But only people with personal faith could continue. You get it? Now, there were several people that were part of great revivals. There was a corporate move. And when the move began to dwindle, and because the people did not have a personal move, they could not continue beyond the move. So, beyond what we do with corporate, in this place, there's so much faith. You can believe easily. Because there's corporate anointing, there's corporate faith. But you see, you need to begin to develop something outside of the corporate atmosphere. So that when the corporate atmosphere is no longer there, there is an atmosphere that you personally sustain because of that which you do outside of the corporate thing. When devils leave the service and they wait for you outside, say, no problem, you can go enjoy your time. But when be sure that when you come out, I will follow you back home. The only thing the devil may not be able to predict is what God has smuggled into your spirit that has personal application even after the service has ended. That's why God wants to give you what will not end. And so he gives you spirit. The Bible says, the spirit entered into me when he spake with me. Because the service will end, but the spirit that entered you will still remain. So that when you go out, there is a platform for a personal reality that came out of a corporate reality. You get that now? So apart from what we do corporately, make sure that you still press on your own as an individual. Even for 30 minutes. Take the prayer points again and sample them in your spirit. Take the prayer points again and reach them in your spirit. My God! Hallelujah! You can still be in work, brother. You can still be working and sampling some things in the spirit. Alright? Doing active work but sampling things. You can be working on the system but sampling things. And you can just take a break and release some things. My God, just sampling things. Just sampling things. And you don't know what happens when you sample things like that. Personally, God takes you beyond the corporate atmosphere, the corporate arena, and he takes you a bit further. Gives you a unique experience that the service did not reveal. And that one lives with you forever. Now, should I tell you something? It's your personal experiences that gives you what lives with you. The corporate experience is supposed to motivate you, impart you, release the grace of God upon you, so that you can begin to, just in case the personal life is dying, the corporate life will revive it. All right? But it does not revive it so that you go into the motion. It revives it just to equip you with enough energy so that outside of the corporate life, you can still begin, continue your personal thing. Are you still with me now? That's the reason. The reason why we need to gather is not because gathering is cheap. You know, a lot of you traveled, but some people from North Bank. When I wanted to trace Sister Eunice's house the other day, my God, I say it's a journey. Now, a lot of people pay a lot of commitment to come here. All right? Do you understand that? The reason for that, the reason why Paul said we should not despise gathering of ourselves together, is because of strength. Have you ever been alone weak before? It's something you should not think about. He says, it's something I don't want to think about. Where the arrows of the devil struck me. Jesus. When I was alone. No strength to fight. It's not an experience that you should have. Alright? That's why the corporate opening is still there. So that when you are going down, the corporate anointing can bring you back up. Secondly, God may be ministering to you in your closet. You need a confirmation for that so that your conviction can be rested. So he brings you into the open and says, hey, there's something there. And he confirms what God was telling you that you could not receive. And then after the confirmation, you say, okay, I'm ready to die for it. The one that happened to you in the closet was not so strong enough for you to be so sure. It brought a ripple effect of confusion in your mind. And when God clearly spoke about it in the public, there was confirmation. Alright? Also, in corporate existence, if you have a rich private life and you come into the corporate community, it may be that God may decide that it's because of your anointing that he will move in a particular service. Not because you are the preacher. Has it ever happened to you? You came into a service and you knew that you felt the healing anointing, but you were not the one on the pulpit. I began to pray for the preacher. I began to say, oh my God, let him just raise a prayer on healing now. Jesus, Lord, you can intercept that man. You can change his sermon. You can make the paper in between his Bible to get missing so that he will depend on you. One man walked into a service and the entire agenda changes. Because the anointing was upon him to prepare the service to meet the mark in heaven. Do you understand that? There are times like that. Don't expect that in every service you come and receive. There are several services that God actually intends that. But it will be so quiet, nobody will know that you did any ministry. But you know that God saw what happened. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now turn your Bible with me to the book of Romans quickly. The preacher most of the time is not the one that has, some of the times, not most of the times, sometimes he needs help from somebody's anointing. If he's a sensitive preacher, when he sees that he doesn't have enough help, he begins to worship. So that he can open the people's spirit. You know, when you are in worship, what you do is you are more conscious of heaven than you are conscious of you. That's if you really get into worship, not into the mnemonics. I'm talking about. So it releases the people's spirit. And when all the wares are released, there is one with a particular incense that will begin to overshadow the atmosphere, just like the woman's alabaster box. It was the perfume of that box that motivated the comments that came forth thereafter. And then when you perceive it, you know the comment you will make. But it was somebody that ministered to you. The corporate life is a place of strengthening, where the feeble knees are strengthened and the hands that hang down are healed, so that that which is crippled will not be dislocated. But all that is being done so that when you pass into your private, you do something extra. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Yesterday we were speaking about the fact that we need to find favor with God to come to a point in the realm of the spirit, or a place in the realm of the spirit, where our mountain will stand strong. The defense mechanism around our lives will be very, very effective, such that the enemy will not catch us off guard one time in 2010. Because the battles of this year are fierce. The devil has lost ground. He wants to regain some stuff. He didn't know how it happened. He didn't know how it took place. And so he wants to go out to vengeance and to wickedness, reckless wickedness, to manipulate some things. And there are some fiery messengers he has dispatched. Hallelujah. And so on the camp of light, we need to tap into a dimension with God that guarantees that your spiritual savor will be on red alert throughout, such that you'll never be caught off guard. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Right, that's where we stopped yesterday. Turn with me to the book of Romans quickly. We are going to continue. Are you still with me today? I say, are you here today? There is no dichotomy between secular and spiritual. If you are an evangelist and you are in the market, you are an evangelist. If you are an evangelist and a prophet in the bank, you are a prophet. Alright? So the guy that feels that, oh my job, I work in Access Bank, so I have a problem with my spiritual life. I don't pray as much as you do because you are into ministry. Jesus, do we understand what ministry is at all? The Bible says that the fivefold ministers were called to educate as lecturers, to bring the people into a realm of spiritual truth and maturity that will make them harness and take advantage of their full potential in Christ, and also live out their life as orchestrated by God in His divine plan and program. And so none of us is expected to pay a lesser price because you take the ministry to First Access Bank, I take it somewhere else, and at the end of the day, the light is expected to shine. Hallelujah. Any aspect of your life that you, it's okay, this life, this aspect is secular. If you make any aspect of your life like that, your defeat will begin from that aspect. You say, okay, no, marriage issues are things of the heart. They are not spiritual. Don't get us mixed up with so many visions. God said this. Oh, you see, you can use your life as a parable. We'll be trying to unravel the parable. Anytime you say, okay, this aspect of life, no, it's a thing of the heart. You know, you cannot pray the intrigues of the heart. You know, it's a battle of the mind that knows no boundary. As you leave that one to the flesh, your defeat will begin from there. But it's not your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter number 7, I want us to see something. We are talking about when we left this place yesterday, God now
gave me a little light. We'll pick that up as we pray together, trusting that the Lord will help us. In Jesus' name. Are you with me in Romans chapter 7? Very, very important. What is the secret of consistency in the Spirit? What is the secret of consistency in the Spirit? A lady just came here when we were praying, and she was telling me about her problems and this problem and that problem, this one and that one. I was waiting for her to be tired of talking about problems. So this problem, all those things are symptoms. They are manifestations of something that you have not done or something that you did. They are just symptoms. All right? If you keep spelling them out, we may not go. But the point is, what is the cure? Then after she finished talking about her problem, and I had to stop her because I said, you even came at the wrong time. Are you not aware that we are praying? Why? What problem are you? You came, Jesus. Then she cooled down. Then I now told her that, have you prayed for 2 hours before? She said, God, I won't lie you that. Hey. Oh. I say you need to be trained. Hallelujah. Life is not guy. It's not guy. I used to have one friend those days. When we were fasting, he now came to me and said, his handsomeness is going. the delicate balance of his handsomeness. He's losing touch. He's losing touch with this. If I call his name, some of you will know him. So, say it's going, the handsomeness. See, the truth of the matter is this. Life is spiritual. The occultic man in the village does not care how he looks. There are some people in Odu, they have not taken their bath for 27 years. They wizards in training can bring rain in dry season from Odu. And he comes out of his shrine, see the head. Some hair have knitted together like this. That's where I saw the real dreadlocks. It's not this Bob Marley that they plan to. The real dreadlocks is irrational. It's out of order. The balance is terrible. One lump like this, and it came out. You don't know what a spiritual life is. The people that speak for Satan are not in the city. They are in the woods. And you want to sleep in Sheraton, ride in Homer. And even if God gives you a waterbed, give it to your visitors. You must maintain that village life to an extent. If you enter home and that's your own, and you are sitting on owner's corner, think about demons and speaking tongues. Don't relax and let and be fat. Should I tell you something? Jesus wasn't fat. He wasn't fat. If you see a man that is speaking in tongues and is fat, he has missed the priority. I didn't say woman. No, I didn't say woman. The chemistry of women is different. But I'm saying, if you see what a man, he says he's a preacher, and then he just fart like this, wah, 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 wah. We have a problem. That's a problem. What is the secret? Hallelujah. Many times, even till recently, all right, when I check my hunger, I need to do an equation before I find what to wear that will be good. Because I forget about it. There are some days where I'm not fasting, but I forgot about food. Not fasting. If all you are living for is to eat and drink, you find out that your equal in the occultic world doesn't eat the way you do. Doesn't. I know herbalists that fast for 14 days, no drink, no eat, and they sleep in the forest. And when he has survived and the snakes or the forest didn't kill him, and he comes back beating his drum, he has come back. There's a bad year. A bad year has come for the family. And if God decides that his time for him to die has not yet come, all right, it means you must have a technology such that his enchantment will not work, at least in your own life. I don't think you will do less. We Because people do not understand that the excellency of grace finds expression when we mix it with works. Grace cannot be tapped except by faith, and faith is dead without works. My friend came up with a revelation the other time. He said that there's no need to fast, no need to pray again, because Jesus paid the price. He did everything. No need to fast no more, no need to pray anymore. Hallelujah. You know, the next time I heard of him, after I started moving with this is gospel, I know a lot of white preachers preach it. Alright? You see, oh my God. That's why you need to be taught of the Lord. Baba must open your eyes to understand it. They started pioneering this gospel that, you know, because one anointed preacher in South Africa preaches that gospel. And he's very, very anointed. He cripples, walk. This man does not eat. If you see him, he's like broom. But he said that the secret of his miracle is not fasting. Trying to exalt the grace of God. But he does it without balance. Alright? And then he says his grace is not fasting. Yes, we know his grace. But you tapped into that realm by pressure. There's a dimension of the kingdom of God that suffers violence. There are dimensions in God's kingdom you can't enter but by violence. It's force. And if you don't understand that, you will remain a pauper, a toddler in the spirit. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven, it allows violence and force their realms, their things. And Jesus exercised the same kind of thoughtfulness in Gethsemane. There are several things that God will never change the price tag. He waits for a man among the eyes of generations that will say, if I die, I die. And then he gives him a part of grace and strength so that he can meet the mark. Do you realize that in the book of Revelation chapter 5, when the Bible says that no man was found to open the book, God did not change the standard, though. He waited. So my friend said that there's no need to fast, no need to pray. I said, right, no problem. And then we started preaching several strange things. Several strange kind of... And then they had a clique. And they were influencing many young people. Hallelujah. Say, and then, that's the one young man likes. Anything that will not put pressure on his flesh. Oh my God. They began to gather crowd after a short while. Because everybody wanted to hear that kind of gospel that would give them the liberty to do the things that they have been desiring to do in secret that they have not been able to find in the Bible. Let a preacher proclaim it so that it gives them license. And then when some of us come to the same city and begin to preach, they say, this is your own heart. It's your own heart. Don't be so this person, the preacher. But when you preach your own, it's something they bite us. Wait. Something they bite us inside. Wait. Hallelujah. And because of that, me and my friend could not relate anymore. They were trying to invite me to their platform to preach, and they actually succeeded in inviting me. And I knew that if I should go to that platform and preach, his problem go break. So I now said I won't go. No need now. Because when the first scripture I will take, so it will look as if we are struggling and fighting. No, we don't need to do that openly. You are not under pressure to believe what I'm preaching. Alright? And I can't believe your own too. Okay? If it's your people that God gave you to pastor, that you are lying to, no problem now. It's only affecting the people God gave you. Why are they suffering? Because they are your people. That's your problem, and God will judge you for that. And if God wants to liberate the people, he knows how to gather them out of your place. So that's not, do your own thing, let me do my own thing. But time will tell. If we can't prove it again, let's test it with time. It didn't take too long. Strange things began to happen in that camp. Then after many years, about 5 years, the guy now came back to me. And I told him that he now came and said, he came to me with an accusation that he felt that I was building a camp. Jesus, camp. Oh my God. I was just doing what God said I should do. And many people from their camp now saw that there was no truth in what they were preaching and began to look for truth. And God allowed us to stumble on the path of life. And when I proclaimed the truth, their spirits received it and they came and confessed all kinds of terrible things that came because of that kind of doctrine and gospel that you don't need to fast, you don't need to pray. And even the pioneers of that gospel were living in sin. I mean terrible sin that even members don't commit. Because there was no strength for them to live above the flesh. There's no way you can look at it from. It doesn't matter which bishop preached it. The Bible is not, the bishop didn't buy it for you. It's still open till today. And if you are privileged to find a few people in life that have practiced the truth, you don't have an excuse. And then the guy came to me after about 5 years and answered, God said he should go and plant a church. I said, did you come because you wanted my sincere comment? Or you came to look for what I will say? That you will now take. He said, no, he wants my sincere comment. I said, okay, wait. I was in Benue Links traveling back from Zaria when God spoke to me. I said, he has not called that young man to pioneer. Obviously, because he was not looking for my sincere comment. I waited for him to request for it the next time. You know, if you come to me and say, you have a problem, you want my counsel. I said, all right, give me time, let me go pray. Is it not your responsibility to ask me, did God see anything? He had already made up his mind to do what he wanted to do. So me, I delayed to see if he would come back. He didn't come back. The next time I heard, he had opened signboard. Bah, bah, bah. You are worthy of my praise. Amen. It's very easy to... you are worthy of my... Oh my God. Then after life, I taught him some practical lessons. He had changed venues 3 times. No, hey, all kinds of things. The devil opened up direct. You know, he was under somebody before and he was doing all those things. So God was shielding him because at least he was under some somebody. And in the realm of the spirit, it's your father that takes responsibility for your error. And that's why when I pray for you and I know we are spiritually connected, I always say that the arrows that were meant for you, let it come to me. Because you don't have enough skill to deal with some arrows yet. If it comes to me, it is better. That's what happens to you if you are under cover. Your arrows go, the ones you can't handle, they go somewhere else. So when he became a pioneer, he had to face some black demons. Those ones that come and say, Oga, are they? Then it occurred to him, they didn't tell him to fast again. But you see, any fasting he's doing now is in error. Because what he's doing, God did not instruct it. Now, may the devil not push you to live out what God did not write for you. It will be a chain of struggle. A chain of frustration. Because God's grace will not back what God has not commanded. And that's why we cannot do it without accuracy. Knowing the mind of God. Pressing into God. Bringing out his plan. So that he can find expression in the face of the earth. The Lord give you understanding in Jesus' name. I think I've overtalked my time. Oh my God. Yes, Romans chapter 7. I have a few minutes to stop my talking. Are you still here? In Romans chapter 7, I want us to look at verse number 15. And if your Bible is the type they underline, please, you can underline that. Because in the verse 15, we have the law of sin there. We have the law of death there. But my emphasis is the law of death. The cure for the law of death. Every inconsistency in your spiritual life is because of the presence of the law of death. You know, the Bible speaks about the law of sin and the law of death. But my emphasis is the law of death. If you find out that there's a problem with your spiritual life, it's because the law of death has set in somehow in your life. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The law of death takes advantage of the incapacity of humanity to bring you into bondage when you want to sponsor a spiritual adventure from the standpoint of the resources of your humanity. Obviously and definitely you are going to fail and you keep failing. And the reason why it's called a law is because it is something that is almost always constant. Please, if you came with the writing pad, just let me do this very, very neatly, very carefully, so that every one of us can bask in true spiritual victory. When we are talking about our mountain standing strong, it's not because of your strength, but it's because of God's commitment to your life. And we need to see the extent of God's commitment so that we can take advantage of the Lord's grace. Amen. In the book of Romans chapter 7, Are you there now? Now I just want to pick verse 15 out of the slate. And if you have verse 15, I want you to read. Now we'll just take it from two different versions to get understanding. That which I do, I allow not. Oh my God, this King James is strange. Please help me with an easier.
I don't understand myself at all.
Yeah, now this guy has come to a point where he is out of track with what exactly is happening in his life. This is a scenario that pictures a man whose understanding is unfruitful about a situation. Now, the reason why he has come to this point is because this situation is spiritually orchestrated. You get it? Now, these are things we experience every day. Now, I just want you to understand it. Anytime you see a situation that you cannot understand, it has a spiritual undertone. It has gone beyond the scope of your mind. You can't explain how it happened. This one happened, and all of them collided at the same time. Pop! Ah! It was plotted from another realm. And that's why your understanding is what? Is unfruitful. Some people have carried out the devil's errands to bring you into a fix. If you don't access the wisdom of God at that time, you may suffer what is not your destiny. Now, so he said that I don't understand what is happening to me.
I don't understand myself at all.
I want you to begin to see the levels on the dimensions of his inability. First of all, we want to establish what the law of death is. And just in case, just so that we can be on the same page, let's define a law. First, a law. Mr. Boniface, what is a law? A law. Universally, your English is too much. Thank you for that. Now, can we paraphrase that, his statement? Anything that is almost always constant. All right? Almost always constant. So we cannot call something a law except it's almost always constant. If you take water is colorless in Japan, it's colorless in New York, it's colorless in Nigeria, colorless in Oju. So universally, if what you are saying is water, it should be colorless. In case your own is red, it's water plus something. But the Lord will help in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, do you understand? It's universally constant. It's almost always constant. Now, what is his situation? Please read.
I don't understand myself at all.
Okay.
For I really want to do what is right. But I
Now. This guy has seen an inability. The first inability is that I don't have the ability to do what is right. Now, it means that this guy knows what is right, but he cannot do what is right. Are you saying that? He knows it's wrong to lie, but he cannot stop lying. He knows it's wrong to steal. He can't stop stealing. This one is called the law of sin. You know, it's almost always constant. He tries every time, but the same results still occur. So it's a law. You get it? Now, let's dissect and explain that man's spiritual condition. Because his spiritual condition is that he wants to do something that is righteous. Not so. Wants to do something that is what? Righteous. But you see, he is trying to do righteousness from the resources of his carnal human nature. You get it? Are you following me? He's trying to do something righteous, but the resources with which he's trying to do that thing is not the... is not sufficient to sponsor it. And so he knows what is good, but he can what? He can't do. Read on. No, that's the law of death, sorry. He knows what is good, but he cannot do it. And you see, the word death there, if we can substitute paralysis for that word death, it would have been more accurate and more understandable. Do you know what it means for somebody to be paralyzed? The guy knows how what it means to walk. Alright? Now, he's seen somebody by his side walking, and now he wants to give a command. Move! And then suddenly, he notices that there is no coordination between his desire and the leg. So the leg is paralyzed or it is dead. So that's the way, the context in which the word death is used in that scripture. Are you still with me? The law of death. When the guy desires to do something, he seems not to have the ability to do it because he's paralyzed. He's trying to use carnality to achieve something that is spiritual, and with respect to that spiritual thing, he finds that his natural ability is paralyzed. So that's the law of death. That's the one that concerns me. You can sit down. Now, the law of death has applications in everything spiritual. For instance, if you want to pray and you just find out that you cannot pray, it's an indication of the fact that you want to pray. It's a spiritual desire. You want to accomplish something that is spiritual, but the resources with which you want to use to accomplish it is your strength. Anytime you want to achieve a spiritual thing using a carnal method, a law will set in, which is the law of death, that will reveal that you are paralyzed as regards this thing. So if you see somebody that doesn't have an effective prayer life, it's because he has not tapped into grace in that area, and the law of death takes preeminence. Am I speaking English or Bible? Okay. I went to preach in BSU. One guy came and said, anytime I preach, he feels blessed, but he has a problem. And he goes back, he decides, he confesses, he has a problem. His problem is smoking. He has this smoking problem, and he just can't stop smoking. So he wants to stop smoking, but he doesn't have the ability to stop smoking. He desires to do the will of God in his heart, but his natural frame is not strong enough to deliver. Law of death. Are you seeing the dichotomy? Spiritual desire, but he's trying to accomplish that with his spiritual from the standpoint, the plane of the natural. And he will encounter an embarrassment, encounter a struggle. Anytime in your life that you see that you struggle, you want to begin to increase and improve your giving life, and you see that there's a struggle, the law of death has entered. Hallelujah. You want to begin to love somebody that is very, very terrible towards you, and you don't seem to have the ability to do that. You are paralyzed. Law of death. That's setting. And if you just find out that somewhere, somehow in your life, you lack the power of consistency, is because another law is at work. So we don't, the law of sin and death are in that scripture. But the one that concerns me for the purpose of this teaching is the law of death. It's a law of paralysis and incapacity with respect to the spiritual demands that God places upon us whenever we try to furnish them from the standpoint of our carnal potential. Hallelujah. Now, when I gave my life to Christ, because I was a fifth born, and the situation on ground was that had elders that wanted occasion to take any occasion that was available to slap me, and so I needed to devise a defense mechanism, and the one that was easily available was the ability to lie. If you can tell a lie, you can bring yourself deliverance. So I mastered the art. I could tell lies without smiling. I just, amen. And after a while, it became part of me. Hallelujah. I told lies until I told my father, I confused the brain. When he came back, he said, God, my God, I have a criminal in the house here. Jesus. Now, so all those, it became part of me when I gave my life to Christ. Now I know it's not good to lie anymore. But how can you stop it? I had problems. I had struggles. Ah, my God. I had all kinds of struggles. Because the thing would just come out. It would be that my thinking. I've already mastered it. I'm depending upon it. And it always produces results. You get it? Now, so there needs to be something supernatural. Something stronger than my inclination. Something stronger than the power of the operation of my mind. Something needs to come into this equation. And so the Bible reveals to us in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 1, which is a secret of consistency spiritually. Anytime you gain consistency in any aspect of your Christian life, is because you took advantage of the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. It means you are operating a different law. Now, in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 1, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. Now, we need to itemize the things there. When you read the Bible, especially when you read the writings of Paul, and Paul is giving you conditions, spell them out very carefully, because even if you religiously practice it, it's going to come to pass in your life. Paul was a great, I don't know how to call him, he was a colossus, an icon, because he tapped into the very, very nerve of truth and life, the very nerve of truth and life, and God, by His mercy and grace upon his life, gave him articulate human speech by which to conduct it in such a way that none of his realities and essence will be diminished. Only Paul, I know. Even demons acknowledge that he had a place, a ranking, a ranking of his own, a life of his own. Leave Paul when we know him. He does spiritual business. Now, so this man is saying that there is therefore now no condemnation. Why did he speak about condemnation? Condemnation is the basis and a platform of that makes an unbeliever walk in perpetual defeat. And that platform of condemnation, because there is no relationship between him and God, becomes the basis of his perpetual defeat. But it is still possible for a believer to operate in condemnation, because I was operating in condemnation while attempting to stop lying, and I was still lying, and the condemnation zooms into my system, and that is a curse that only unbelievers should partake in. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So the fact that you are born again does not mean that some conditions that have been ordained by God to be conditions that only unbelievers will experience, it doesn't mean that you may not experience it if you don't fulfill or use the principles that God intends for you to fulfill, to live in that realm. You will still partake of something that is not your destiny. And that is, it's because of this sway in the spirit realm and the possibilities that can take place in the spirit realm that we need to be careful, we need to be circumspect, and we need to pray that God will favor us so much that our mountains will stand strong, so that your life does not produce anything that is not within the context of that which is written concerning you. The possibility abounds for you to experience something which is not God's intention. Do you realize that it's possible for some... let me stop there. Come back. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation. Condemnation is not supposed to be part of your experience, but it's possible for you to experience condemnation. He's now telling us what we need to do in order for us not to experience that which is not our portion in God. He said, first of all, we need to be in Christ. And that's a reaction of baptism that took place on the account of our faith in the finished work of Jesus. There was a baptism, a transfer that took place from the kingdom of darkness, and we're submerged into Christ as the habitat that holds the new creation. You know, the habitat, the place, the ark is an Old Testament description of Christ, that ark of Noah, where everything that was going to be part of the new creation. You know, the flood changed the topography of the earth. It changed life under the sun, and only that which was in the ark could live thereafter. That's what Christ is. Christ is like a habitat where all of that which is in the new creation is encapsulated. So if you have not given your life to Christ, you are not existing in the plane of life. You are still operating under the template of cycles and cycles, circles and cycles, vanity upon vanity. No divine purpose is being actualized by your breath, by your life, by your days upon the face of the earth. But you begin to make meaning to God when you are in that ark. And that's the new habitat that houses the entire new creation. So the Bible says that if you are going to go beyond and be excluded from that which is the fate and the destiny of them that have not yet found God, which is summed up in the word condemnation. First of all, you need to be in. And then this is the difficult aspect of the journey. Secondly, the Bible says that we should not walk after the flesh. Now, because if you walk after the flesh, the law of death will set in. You don't get it. You want to achieve something spiritual and you want to walk after the flesh, use your own ability, you will not be able to attend to it. Paralysis will set in and condemnation will be imparted. Devil will accuse you. You say you're born again, see the lie. Then the thing will invade your system and affect your conscience. And when your conscience is affected, you cannot fight spiritual wars. And that's why the Bible talks about the breastplate of righteousness is for your conscience. We'll talk about that later. If your conscience is not garrisoned, you are not a fighter. Just go and heal yourself. You are under emergency. An emergency is a situation that will make you leave other situations to attend to. Leave, fight, go and what? To the intensive care unit for intensive care from the Holy Ghost. He can mend, he can stitch, he can suture, he can align bones that are broken. I think we need the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says that we need not walk after the flesh. That means when I was asking God, when I was saying, okay, I wanted to stop lying, and there was no possibility for me to stop. Until I came to discover that in my strength, I could not stop lying. So I now said, I went back to God in prayer. I said, God, deliver me from this thing, because I don't find the ability in me to do it, even though I desire so to do. Then I discovered that God had been waiting for me to ask him for the ability, because the ability obviously was not doing. And now that I've asked God for the ability, I now look to God to fulfill it. I don't look to me anymore. It means I've decided not to walk after the flesh. After the prayer that I've made to God, I now look to God to supply the ability. And then when situations came that I was expected to lie, I just saw that I could go through it without having to lie. I had one victory, two victories, three victories, four victories, five victories, and it became a lifestyle. I lived above it because a law has been set in motion, and I've been depending on that law ever since. Now, there was a time that I felt, hey, I have conquered it, you know, and I wasn't following the principles anymore. Some lies now came back and said, Jesus, I had to go back again. Do you understand what I'm talking about? At any point in time that you detach from this principle, your victory is no longer certain. So if we're talking about your mountain standing strong and for you to have a consistent life of victory with God, this is the prism. First of all, you need to be in Christ, which every one of us here that is born again has passed the first test. Oh, how comforting. Hallelujah. And then the second principle now is how to draw power. The power of God, the deposit of God, the investment of God that is in your spirit. How do you draw it, make demands upon it so that it can come to the occasion? Secondly, decide not to walk after your own wisdom. Go to God in prayer. Ask him for the release of his grace and look to him for supply of strength. Hallelujah. Look to him for what? For supply of strength. So when I find out that I have a problem with my prayer life, I'm not consistent with my prayer life because I try to pray in my strength and I don't really succeed. So I look to God for supply. Hallelujah. Look, in my heart, as I'm looking to God for supply, I begin to speak in my own normal tongues. Just because the word dynamo, the word dunamis, the English word that comes out of that is dynamo. And in the typical situation of a dynamo, you need first to apply some mechanical energy, strength, external strength, like the generator. You need to. All right? So you can start speaking in tongues by an act of your will first, waiting for the supply. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And if you begin to speak in tongues, like just waiting for God, just waiting for. If you wait long enough, you begin to see that the system will begin to run itself and it will begin to supply energy itself. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So, first of all, you apply some. And I now saw it for 1 day, for 2 days, for 3 days, for 4 days. Me that I didn't like that prayer. Sometimes prayer now became a part and parcel of my life. Not because I become a prayer warrior, but because God has released me into the gate. One of the gates of righteousness, we have access to the operation of the law of the spirit of life. And it is a law. So it's dependable and it's constant and it's almost always constant. Do you get it now? Now, if you see that in your Bible study life, you are beginning to see that the scripture is dry. And every time you open the scripture, you are not motivated to study it. It means that humanity has taken the day. Look to God. Confess the inability of your flesh. And then as you begin to study again, trust him to open your understanding. He will do it. It's a law. You have engaged a different principle. Now, I learned this principle when I went to Bible school, came out of Bible school, and we felt that, oh my God, we had known the whole Bible. We're looking for where to preach and all of that. And we know how to form messages and all. Until God brought me to a point one day where my script got missing. So I had to look to God for supply. Now, that mistake I made that day, I've not recovered from it. Because till today, I look to God for what? Even the one I'm preaching today, I didn't come with message. Just look to God. I've operated in that realm for years. I preach better without a script. If you like, take me to Tulsa, to Oklahoma, for a conference. I will walk into that place even without a Bible. Because I've perfected that principle. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I look to God. And what will come out, you have enough. You will be full and there will be some left. Because you cannot exhaust God. And I need to know, make you understand that it's only the knowledge that you got through your own ability that can puff you up. If you got it by depending upon God, it will humble you. Can we pray tonight? Now the point is this, and what I'm trying to bring to us is this. The secret is independence on God. Can you see that? This is something that is practicable, is something that is achievable. Dependence on God. If that area of your life that is an issue, can you depend on God? I've applied that principle to every aspect of my life. Hallelujah. I used to be a traveling evangelist from place to place, from place to place, and I was wondering if I get married, my wife will cry because I will not spend one weekend at home. And I now look to God. When I was about to get married, that was my problem. It was inside of me. I was afraid. I said, how can I marry? Because I'll be on the street every week. Wah, Kaduna. I appear 11 in the night. That's how I used to do. So that I can come to work on Monday morning. I've gone on Friday. On Friday, I'll just do you. I don't escape. I say, okay. He said, the only reason why I'm allowing you now is that I know that I'm helping God. Even though we are evil, at least this one, you will use it to. I'm on the road. You will be amazed where I will be the next 5 hours. I've crossed 4 states. And I will appear with my suit in the night. You think I just came out of here. And then on Sunday night again, 11, I hit Abuja. Sometimes the tire will punch, but you reach 12. But it came to pass. When you look to God, He knows how to. Man, do you know why we are here? We have not looked to God enough. If you allow Him into even those areas of your life that you believe that you have perfected it, He will bring a supernatural dimension to that aspect. I know you know how to cook. But tempt yourself one day and say, Lord, help me cook. Bring your dimension. Because the Bible suggests to us that we should be able to do the supernatural. The natural supernaturally. That means you should be able to. Your schooling should be supernatural. The way you write your exams, yes, I know you read, but bring the supernatural element. If there's any aspect of your life that the supernatural element is not, you have not seen the best. You have not seen the best yet. Bring that element upon it, and a dimension is going to come. If you have been good, you'll be better. If you are better, you'll be best. Because if you give your potentials to the Holy Spirit, you'll manifest them in the best colors. Hallelujah. You can be more than what you are now. If only you can bring the God element, the God factor, and look to God. Our prayer tonight is easy. Lord, today I make a covenant to look to you. And if you say it, believe it. We were in Jaws. We were preaching, went somewhere to preach, and then the car now got stuck in mud. And then we now say, okay, this is how to, let's push it this way. Let's push. After toiling for 1 hour, you know, God will allow you to suffer small so that you know that. After toiling, then I say, wait, why I not even ask God? Then I move and say, Lord, where are you? We are suffering. He said, tell the man to reverse. And you know, the way the thing is, reversing looks as though it will complicate the issue. I said, tell him to reverse. So I came and said, let's reverse this thing. He said, you will not see the way the thing. I said, don't argue. Just reverse and come out. And the man reversed and came out. And our 1 hour struggle, what needless pain we bear. Even in areas that you think you have gained the mastery, may God help you in 2010 to look where. And just in case you have been trying some things and you are struggling, it's just a testimony of the fact that you have not done what you really need to do. Because the law of death is a law. It will keep producing that inability until wisdom speaks to you and say, let's change the frequency from the carnal realm to the supernatural realm. If there's anything in your life that is not supernatural, then you have not yet gotten the best in that dimension. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Can we pray tonight? Oh my God, I'm believing God that even that which you have gained mastery in, God will add oil upon it. Amen. And take you to a realm that you become a reference point in the world of men as to this dimension. This dimension. such that if people need to make reference to that dimension, they need to come seek counsel from you. But it's all the grace of God that we have enjoyed in different shades and in different colors. I want us to rise and pray together. It's a prayer of commitment. Lord, in 2010, I have decided to look to you. May there be a response when I call. May there be an answer when I pray. And all the limitations that have looked you in the face all these years, why not say, Lord, this is what I would have done all this while, but it's not too late, I still surrender them. I want you to let go your wisdom, let go your schemes and your whims and caprices, and say, God, we look to you. In 2010, we look to God. 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 I want you to begin to talk to the Lord now. Can you say, Lord, take over? Take over. Take over. My exams are by the corner. I commit them into your hand. The Bible says that the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory is in the hands of God. You don't just pass an examination just because you read, but you want to bring the supernatural element upon every natural thing that you do. And say, God, we look to you. 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 Cause our mountain to stand strong. Cause our strength to be renewed in our vessel. For they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. We look to you. We look to you. Open unto us the gates of righteousness. Let the gates be open unto us so that we will receive the supplies that will come from heaven. Ancient of Days, put your ability upon us. Put your strength upon us. Put your grace upon our lives. Let there be a change. Let there be a change. We look to you. We look to you. We want to go beyond humanity. We want to tap into the very fountains of divine supplies. We look to you. We look to you. We look to you, O God, in the name of Jesus. We look to you that we may be able to do the supernatural naturally. That we may be able to do the natural supernaturally. There is yet a dimension that we are yet to experience. There is yet a dimension that we are yet to experience, and so we call to you. 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 We call to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to call upon the name of the Lord. He will hear us tonight. There is help in God. There is help in God. That's what the Bible means when it says that I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Your help does not come from you. It comes from somewhere else. There is a place where the help from heaven is sourced. I want you to look to the hills. Look to the mountains for your help. For your help. For your help. For your help.
Konda masala batang bosekani masalata. Our help cometh from the Lord, from the maker of the heavens and the earth. Our help cometh from God. Lord, we connect with divine help. You know the limits of our humanity. You understand that our frame and our frailty. And so we look to thee for supply. We look to thee for ability. We look to thee for help. We look to thee for help. We look to thee for help. For help, O God. Mosarabata masalebo. Imrasaka badaba santa baboria. Shebroka patala baskanda basketa brela. Labronda makala basokle brakuska temadai. We look to the Lord for help. We look to Jesus for help. Lord, let there be a release, a supply of your spirit. Take us beyond the periphery. We switch into the realms of the spirit to take on spiritual advantage in 2010. Cause our lives no longer to be ordinary. Take us beyond the realms of the ordinary. Let there be the supply of that which makes our lives take a dimension of the extraordinary. Let your hand be seen upon every aspect of our lives. Let your hand be seen. 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 Let your hand be seen, O God. Konzaba malahaske prasko malasilabata. Let your hand be seen. Go breskete babosi. Is there any limitation upon your life that you have noticed over the years? Do you want to come into covenant and into partnership with God? And you are going beyond that limit. You are going beyond that limit. You want to look to God and say, Lord, in 2010, I go beyond this limit. I go beyond this reproach. This reproach shall no longer find expression in my life. Lord, the time has come for the stories of men to be rewritten by grace, by mercy, by power. We ask, O God, that the limitations, O God, will be dropped. We cause the limitations. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of Christ indwelling, we go beyond the limits. We'll 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 go beyond the limits by the power of God. We saw by the advantage of the Spirit, Ancient of Days, in 2010, a new chapter opens. A new chapter opens unto us. A new realm opens unto us. A realm of grace opens unto us. A realm of favor opens unto us. Zomena kanze malababazaya. Bo brakate bonzana brakataya. Embrasaka babaseka bonde. Robena sila. La granda casa barahala banzalebo. Help is coming from heaven. Help comes from heaven. Help comes from heaven. Help comes from heaven. Help comes from heaven. The Lord is going to bless your effort. He will bless your effort. He will bless your effort. He will bless your effort. Help cometh from heaven. I want you to raise a cry for your family and say, help comes for my family. Help comes for my family in 2010. Help comes for us. Help comes for us. We go beyond the family limitations. We go beyond limitations. We go beyond causes. We go beyond everything orchestrated by the devil. We receive help of God.
Which God has ordained for you in this year, nothing will manipulate you out of it. And the devil is a master of manipulation. He's a master of manipulation. Several of us have been ordained by God to enter into realm of unspeakable blessings, but the devil is standing to resist us. The Bible says that he showed me Joshua the high priest and Satan standing by him to resist him. He is a master of manipulation so that you will never enter into your God-ordained destiny. Hallelujah. Just in case there's a messenger of the Spirit that has been dispatched in order to compromise the extent of dominion that God has given into your hands, we pierce that rider in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to read a scripture to us. This is supposed to be the description of your life. Just in case you need to read it, I want to read from the book of Isaiah. It's a common scripture, chapter 40. It says that he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might increase their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. And then the prophet begins to use some form of, is it idiomatic expression? I don't know how to put it. Some form of, he uses some strange kind of metaphors. He said, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. And I hope you know that you cannot fly. You can't fly because you are not wired for flying. So when he says that they shall mount up with wings as eagles, he's saying they will do supernatural things in natural ways. Because for the eagle, flying is natural. So when the Bible says you will mount up with wings like eagles, it means you do something supernatural, you do it naturally. The Bible also says that they will run and not be weary. I know that it's natural for you to run, but it's not natural for you to run and not be weary. It means that we do the natural supernaturally. Now this is supposed to be the story of our lives if we take the full advantage of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. If you take the full advantage, you are expected to do the supernatural naturally and expected to do the natural supernaturally. You can do your office work supernaturally. You can write your exams supernaturally. If there is no supernatural element in your life, you are operating below expectation. In anything you do, there is a supernatural dimension that will set in once you begin to look to God. And one of the things that the devil uses to cheat us out of these dimensions of the blessings of God is that it makes you feel that I'm competent already in this and I don't need the help of God here. And so you keep on doing it naturally. But when, even in areas of mastery, when you look to God, you begin to see God's operation come into that dimension, such that that which is natural, you find out that you do with what? Now, for those of us that were born stammerers, I know some of you talk naturally, but I don't talk naturally. I speak the way I'm speaking now under the influence of God's help. Because I know what happens if I lose my prayer life now, I become a stammerer. We have tried that over and over again. So there's no need for me to repeat it. The power that makes me speak, I discovered it in partnership with God. That God can bypass your ability to stammer and make a man that is slow in speech an orator. That is by the help of God. If you are operating in natural things, you don't have help. Okay? You have not taken a full advantage of the potentials that abound in the Spirit. I want us to pray tonight and say, Lord, I will do the supernatural naturally. You know, it's not natural to hear God. It's not natural. It's a supernatural thing to hear God. It's a supernatural thing to see visions. It's a supernatural thing to lay your hands upon the sick and see them recover. But God can take you to a realm where you do supernatural things naturally. You hear God. As a time came in Moses' life where the Bible says that Moses, God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaking to his own friend. Natural things, supernatural things can become natural. When somebody said those days that and God spoke to me, we say, God, my friend, you can demystify spiritual things and it can become natural. That's the realm we want to operate in, where supernatural things become natural and natural things, we do them supernaturally. I want us to pray so that we will exploit the full capacity of the grace that we have available in the law of the Spirit of life that resides in Christ. I need you to lift up your voice and cry. God will take you beyond your limits. He will take you beyond your limits. He will take you beyond your limits. Take you beyond your fears. God will take you beyond your limits. He will take you beyond your fears. He will take you beyond your target. The supernatural can be done naturally, and the natural can be done supernaturally. Only look to God and invite Him. Take advantage of His ability. Take advantage of His strength. God is here in 2010 to be a help to us. He wants to be a help to you, a help to me in 2010. Take advantage of the help of God. For the Bible says, vain is the help of man. Vain is the help of man.
Relying on your natural ability is vain. But we take advantage of the help of God. Name we pray.
Now God just whispered to me now. He said it shall be nice for us in this building now, the people that are here. He said for many of us it will be a time of fulfillment. Now many things that you attempted doing, you see the fulfillment. You see it. Now you can write it down, it will come to pass. At the end of the year we will call for these things. At the end of the year we will call for people that have experienced the things that we began to receive from God at the beginning of the year. It will be a time of fulfillment. A time of fulfillment. A time of fulfillment. A time of fulfillment. Now, I want us to go, we need to go to the warfare directory. Warfare directory. Now the Bible says, surely he shall deliver thee, and I'm speaking from Psalms 91, verse 3 says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Now, throughout the 21 days, 25 days of fasting, take note, the people that will be leading prayer subsequently, you must visit the warfare directory. Alright? Psalm 91. There must be a verse relevant there that the people need to pray about, because we need to be shielded from fierce war. The Bible says surely. Somebody say surely. Whenever the word surely finds expression in scripture, it means most assuredly. There is no doubt attached to this dimension. The price has been paid and it shall be delivered as such. That's what it means. Now the Bible says surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. That's the one we are going to pray about today. The snare of what? Now, another word for fowler is hunter. The snare. I don't know how many of us have been. There was a time you used to catch your hungu. I've been there. We used to. Okay. Yongu. There's one thing we used to put like that. You see, before you catch yongu, you need to be. Amen. You need to be a very wise man. First of all, you must study yongu life yet. And then get to know where is the road of Yongu. If you have not known as much, you can't catch it. Because the places where the traps are kept are strategic. It's almost prophetic that you catch one. Because there is a path. Do you discover that something that is hunting for something is always wiser than that thing? Do you realize? That if somebody is looking for you to shoot, to kidnap you, do you know that they have your picture, they know where you walk? They're always ahead of you because they plan. You have no knowledge of their plan, and you are still you are not security conscious. But the Bible says that God will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. He will deliver thee from the gun of the hunter. That hunter that have been trying to put his telescope in field view, such that it is compatible with your forehead. He said there is such a deliverance that can happen, so that even a well articulated and well configured and well conjured battle can still be overturned by an act of God's deliverance, such that even the fowler himself will be brought to a point of our way. How did it happen? By the help of God, deliver us from the snare of the fowler. I want you to pray by the help of God. See, there are several people that may be planning for you. You don't know. You are not operating under any security strategy. You are not operating with any security strategy. Plans have gone into advanced stage for your life, for your destiny, for the things that God has spoken about you.
But you want to say, God, in the name of Jesus, deliver me in 2010 from the snare of the hunter, from the wisdom of the hunter. Deliver me. Deliver me. Kosalavante mokos kilaba. Every plan, everything that have been cooked up, everything that have been meticulously designed, every weapon that have been fashioned and formed with you in mind, God said that I will deliver thee from the snare of the hunter. I will bail thee out from the pangs of the hunter. I will make you escape the trap that is set in your ways. I will speak a word from heaven. I will bring confusion into the camp of the enemy so that you can escape. You can escape. You can escape. God said that I will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Let no one among our company tonight be a victim. Let there be no victim. No victim. In 2010, we forbid that everyone, that anyone will become a victim. We bring every family that is represented here tonight before the throne of grace. And we say, Lord, there shall be no victim. There shall be no victim. The fowler's snare shall not catch any prey. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Things in righteousness, by the skill that is retained in his right hand, by the integrity of his heart, he shall bring you deliverance. He shall come and save thee. The Bible says, say unto them that are of a fearful heart, thy Lord cometh. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. He will come and deliver you. He will come and set you free. No casualty. No casualty. No cost of weeping. No need to mourn. Because God has committed himself to bring us deliverance. Even from the fowler's snare. Ancient of days. Go brakatebos. We give you praise. We give you glory. He shall deliver thee. In Jesus' name.
Finally, before we leave tonight, we want to pray. My God. My God. Amen, amen. Blessings and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, power and might be unto the Lord forever and ever. Amen, 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 amen. Blessings and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, O Lord, and honor, and honor, power and might be unto the Lord, unto the Lord, forever and ever. Yeah. Singing amen, 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 amen. Blessings and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving. Oh God, and oh Lord, singing and oh Lord, power and might be unto the Lord, forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Singing amen. Thanksgiving.
ever and ever and ever and ever, Lord.
Says unto us that I bring you to a place of enlargement. A place of enlargement. By the supply of my spirit, I bring you to a place of enlargement where your limitations will count for nothing. I bring you to a place of enlargement. A place where you will have more than the supply you need. I bring you to a place in the spirit called enlargement. Rehoboth, the place of enlargement. For the Lord has made room for us. We shall increase in the land. So shall it be. In Jesus' name. By an activity of the Spirit of God, the Great One brings us to a place, to Rehoboth. Place of more rooms, place of enlargement, place where there is abundant supply. These are the things that the Lord does right in our midst. He that has, let him hear. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Everything that has traveled upon your life from your ancestors. Brings us to a place of enlargement.
So shall it be, Father. Now remove your feet from where you are standing. And I bless you on the rock. Nothing shall take from your destiny. Every message of darkness that has been dispatched to manipulate your destiny, I pierce him tonight. He brings us to a place of enlargement. Just give thanks to the Lord. There is victory. I sense it in the spirit. I sense victory in the spirit already. I sense it. I sense that several people are going to come out of. Oh my God. We give you tonight. Somebody's been restored now. It's been restored now. It's been restored now. God is giving you back your victory. He's giving you back your victory. That which was taken away from you shall be restored. It's been restored now. It's been restored now. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it in the name of Jesus. The thief has been caught. The thief has been caught. Jesus. Jesus. Come upon this lady. Come upon her. Come upon her. You are blind. Let her go in the name of Jesus Christ and break your yoke. Go. That with the devil stole, the Lord is restoring. He's restoring. He's restoring her. This restoring is giving it back to you. Supra halabaska de babos. Rasketa barama samaraha. We hunger and thirst for you in a dry and weary land. All we want is you. All we want is you.
again.